And welcome back to Rants from the Road. I know I've touched on this subject before, but I want to kind of dig into it a little more today. I'm listening to Robbie Zacharias. If you ever heard him before, give him a listen. It's, man is incredibly brilliant and insightful. It really gives you something to think about. It occurs to me that there's a lot of evangelists, pastors, preachers, people out there teaching the Word of God from a spiritual standpoint because God is spirit, so it makes sense. A lot of people reject the idea of God, of spiritualism, of anything that they can't detect with their own five senses. They reject the modern notion of universal truth, believing that truth is subjective. Whatever you believe is true for you. I'll try and come at it from that angle. First of all, you believe that there is no universal truth and no God. And I assume it's safe to say that if there were universal truth, it would have to come from God, correct? Because no man, no human, could make universal truth that could apply to everyone universally, because no one's perfect. No one can be perfect human beings. Any universal truth that man came up with would be flawed. Therefore, to by that very definition, it would not be universal. So if there is universal truth, then there must be God. Creates universal truth. All right, then. If we can establish that, let's move on, then. If there is no universal truth, if all truth is subjective, then why do we have laws? Are not laws based on some universal and truth? I mean, if we were truly all living under subjective truth, how would we even have a civil society? I've mentioned this before. If my truth is it's okay to kill people and your truth says it isn't, there could be a bit of a conflict there. Well, I'm saying, well, that's why we have laws. Okay. So, how do we have laws that are supposed to apply to everyone universally? There's a universal truth, right? Killing is bad. How do we get that universal truth if there is no universal truth? Where did it come from? Robbie Zacharias, he said something last episode I wanted to listen to. He said he had a skeptic come to him and ask him, they were discussing, homosexuality or something along those lines, and he asked him, what exactly is wrong with this lifestyle? And Robbie looked at him and said, I'll answer your question if you'll answer mine. What is wrong with anything? Looks brilliant. He's right. What makes anything wrong? There can be no right and wrong, folks, if there is no universal truth. And there can be no universal truth if there is not a supreme all-knowing, perfect being, entity, to give us that universal truth. And there are no supreme, all-knowing, perfect human beings. And I know the usual responses to that too, and I'll address those. The usual response is, well, it's laws are simply a matter of a majority of people coming together and agreeing that certain things, agreeing on these things. Okay. So the law that the majority of people agree on, is universally applied. I mean, it doesn't just apply to people who agree with you, right? Does it apply to everyone? See where I'm going with that, don't you? Relativism, subjective truth. If that is all there is, then there can be no laws that universally apply to everyone. Because that would require there to be a universal truth that says these things are right and these things are wrong. And where do we get these ideas? Where do these notions of right and wrong come from? They didn't just, materialize out of thin air. There is no universal truth, then there can be no law. Because if you reject universal truth, then you must also reject any law that universally applies to everyone. And it doesn't really matter how many people agree in their own subjective way that this was true. You'll never have everyone. But you're still going to apply it to everyone. How do you do that if it's not universally true? If this is wrong, and you have a law that says it's wrong, it applies to everyone universally, how do you reconcile that with the idea that there is no universal truth? You can't. It's the ultimate catch-22. The fact of the matter is, you cannot have a civil society without universal truth. Because individual ideas of what's right and wrong will clash, often violently. And there's plenty of examples of it in today's world. Plenty of examples of it throughout history. Ideological opponents clash. In the absence of universal truth. Or at least in the denial of universal truth. There's never been an absence of universal truth. It's always been there. The question is whether or not people will recognize it. So, if there are universal truths, and there must be if there is right and wrong, if there's anything wrong with anything, as Ravi Zacharias said, if there's anything wrong with anything, there must be universal truth. And if there is universal truth, there must be God. Because there are no perfect people. There are no all-knowing, all-seeing, perfect people who could create a universal truth that actually applies to everyone universally. So, if there is a God, and he has given us universal truths, this is right, this is wrong, and if, in fact, we as human beings are not perfect, we're not. Given all of those things, how can we deny the fact that we all need to be saved? We see the effects in our society very clearly of this notion that there is subjective truth. See the results. I could rattle off examples all day, but I think the most important aspect here is that this idea of, you know, subjective truth has divided us. Divides us along racial lines, divides us along economic lines, divides us along gender lines, divides us along ideological lines. We are all divided at each other's throats, completely vulnerable to anyone who wants to come along and tell us they've got the solution, lead us straight to the mouth of hell. It's only when we are united that we are unbreakable. It is the idea of subjective truth that has divided us. Left us vulnerable, easy to control, easy to manipulate. Because we make assumptions about all the people that we've been told are somehow different. They're not us. Like they're some kind of alien or something. It's all a lie. So is subjective truth. There is no subjective truth. There is only universal truth. When you bring subjective truth into a society, you create division and chaos. Bring universal truth into a society. Bring strength, unity, harmony. Because no matter how much people may disagree, they can always fall back on that universal truth. Why the purveyors of subjective truth work so hard to take God out of the public eye. No more God in our courts, there's no more God in our schools, no more God in our city halls, Congress. No more God. Why? Because they wanted to get rid of universal truth. They wanted to be able to implant the idea of subjective truth in people's minds and they would accept it. But why would they accept it if they believed in a universal truth? Universal truth had to be destroyed, it had to be dismantled. And the only way to do that was to remove God. That's exactly what happened. They removed it from the public sphere. But that was never, of course, enough. Now they want to remove it from the private sphere. So now if you're a business owner, the private sector, you're no longer you are prime target if you believe in the Word of God. They've proven they'll do it. They have done it. They continue to do it. They use that ridiculous separation of church and state as their excuse. And there is nowhere in the Constitution that says that. Nowhere. The only place it is written. Is in a letter from Thomas Jefferson. It is not one of our founding documents. And he was not talking about removing God from the public sphere. He was talking about the idea of legislating morality. Can't legislate morality. When you try to legislate morality, you create... You create a theocracy. You create Iran. You know that's what Iran is? It's a theocracy. It's run, controlled entirely by the religious leaders. They own it. They own everybody in it. That's a theocracy. It's just another form of tyranny. That's what Jefferson was talking about. Talking about Congress making laws that require people to believe a certain way. That could not be allowed to happen because that had already happened. That's what they ran away from. It happened in England. That's why they came here. Because they were being forced to believe whatever the church wanted them to believe. To worship in whatever way the church wanted to worship, and they were making it law. And it wasn't biblical. They were perverting the scripture. Thomas Jefferson did not want to see that same thing happen here. Where God's word could be twisted and perverted and used as a means of power. It was never meant to be so. Thomas Jefferson certainly, most certainly did not mean that all prayer, all scripture, all mention of God whatsoever must be removed. That is not what it means. It never was. They use that phrase, it is a lie. Because that's not what it means. And just to prove to you, just to prove to you how hypocritical they are, to prove to you that this is not about separation of church and state. Okay, that's a lie to begin with, but that's not even what it's about. That's just their excuse. It's a direct attack on Christianity, and here's why. Here's the proof. Because they have no problem with Islam being taught in our schools. They have no problem with Muslim leaders swearing on the Quran. They have no problem with Islam being in the public sphere. Is that not a religion? Did you somehow forget about your whole separation of church and state? No, you didn't. Of course you didn't, because it was never about that. It was about attacking Christianity, because Christianity united us and made us immune to your attempts to control and manipulate us. I can't put it any simpler than that. There are no Islamic bakers being targeted by state attorney generals. No Islamics out there being targeted. Because they won't serve certain people. Right? It's not because they will. You know, I mean, there's been actually been people who actually tried this. It's a C, you know, an experiment, social experiment, right? They go into a, it's like they're recording on their phone or whatever, they walk into some business owned by and is a Muslim, asked them for some, you know, like a bakery. I think they did try. I think I remember seeing a YouTube video about this. They actually did try to go to a Muslim owned bakery and ask them to make them a cake for their gay wedding. They weren't gay. I mean, it was just to make sure, you know. Did they oppose that? Oh, sure enough. No, we respectfully decline on religious grounds. And where are the screaming leftists? Oh, right. It wasn't Christian. Ergo, it's not a problem. It's never been about church and state. It has never been about religion being a problem. It has always been about the destruction of Christianity, because Christianity united us. It united us. It was the universal truth that bound us together, that made us strong, that allowed us to work out our differences, no matter how great they were, because we could fall back on this. And it also allowed us to see when we were being deceived. Someone was trying to lie to us. Someone was trying to sell us a lie. We could just go back to the Word of God. We'd know it's a lie. We'd go back to the universal truth, and we would know the difference between truth and lies. We could not be deceived, we could not be manipulated, and we were united. No, we were not perfect. I get sick and tired of liberals who want to argue that, well, you know, all these horrible things that people did back then. There's horrible people things people do right now. We are not perfect beings. We never have been, and we aren't now, and we never will be. That is not the issue. Whether or not there were bad people who did bad things back then is not the bar we judge the entire society by. If it was, you should be judging this society pretty darn harshly. We don't judge an entire society by the few who do bad things. I don't minimize the bad things that were happening. Nor do I justify those who committed them. But I can look back at the society as a whole, in general, and see, look, we were united. Now we're divided. It's not debatable. It's obvious. We were united then, we are not united now. What's the difference? God was taken out. Universal truth was taken out. What else happens when subjective truth is replaces universal truth? I already said it causes chaos, right? People can't get along, right? They have no basis, they have no common ground, they can't get along. Right? You can't have a civil society when everybody believes different things are true and different things are wrong and right. So what must happen in order to maintain a civil society? Government must get bigger, more powerful, more laws, more regulation, more intrusion into your personal life. Has that or has that not actually happened? Is anything I've said false? It's all true. Let's stop and think about this for a moment. If you were to take laws, regulations, all the big government we have today, and suggest it to someone, say, in, I don't know, early 1800s, they walked into the Congress there and said, hey, let's do all these things. How do you think they would respond? I can think of a few ideas. Most likely, you'd just be laughed out of the room. If they actually thought you were serious and had the ability to get it done, they'd probably hang you. Why? Because they understood what we seem to have forgotten. Government had a purpose, and it has exceeded that purpose. We, the people, had a purpose, and we've ignored it. And that is the definition of evil. To violate one's purpose. And where does purpose come from? There can be no purpose if there is no universal truth. Subjective truth only offers you a self-reflected purpose, which always leaves you empty and at odds with everyone and everything around you. And when enough people in a society believe in that subjective purpose, that subjective truth, then the government has to step in order to maintain civility. And, of course, that's exactly what they intended all along. Government never wants to become smaller. Never. It is a simple fact. There is no government which has ever become smaller on its own. If a government's become smaller, it's because the people finally rose up and said enough and put it back in its place. It will never do it on its own. Never has, never will. Government always looks to control more, grow more, to become more encompassing, to have more direct control over the individual. Always. And there is no better way to do it than to destroy universal truth and split us apart. Against each other. It's exactly what they've done. It's exactly what's happening. So, how does this all fit in with being saved? It's pretty simple, really. We are none of us perfect, remember? We all screw up. We all sin. Funny, nobody likes that word. It's just another way of saying doing wrong. Always didn't like that word, though. Can't forgive ourselves. How can we forgive ourselves? I mean, we can forgive ourselves, but we can't redeem ourselves. How do we do that? We need something greater than you. Something greater than man. What else is there? And there is one religion. I don't even like to use that word because religion is man-made. There is one faith, one belief. Written down, established. In the Word of God. There is only one in all the world that offers redemption for all unconditionally. Free. Just from a purely logical standpoint, it should be a pretty obvious choice. You imagine the hope that it brings. And I went into that yesterday, the day before. People with hope can accomplish truly great things. Salvation brings hope, peace, joy, and love. If indeed those are the things, those are the qualities that we all seek, each and every one of us, and it's free for all, unconditional. Why wouldn't we? Oh. oh, but you have to quit doing this, and quit doing that, start doing this, start doing that. No! None of those things are required for salvation. Once you are saved, once God resides in your heart, once you have that hope and that peace and that joy and that love, you'll start doing those things simply because you know they're right. Out of a grateful heart. None of those things will bring you to salvation. And yet, why is it Christianity is the only one that doesn't require you to do some kind of spiritual gymnastics to get your way into heaven? No, just accept the gift. That's it. There you go. Accept it. Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and you will be saved. Life, death, and resurrection of Christ. That's it. That's the whole. Couldn't be simpler. And nothing is required of you. All those things that you're so worried about right now, all the things you think you're going to lose, all the things you're going to miss out on, once you get saved, you'll realize all those things were the things that were enslaving you. They were holding you back. You're not missing anything. You think you are because, you know what, it gives you a little temporary pleasure here and there? Well, why are you still miserable? There's a reason for that. Because there's a God-shaped hole in all of us. Thank you for your time. God bless you.
The podcast you just heard was made using Anchor. Ever thought about making your own podcast? Anchor makes it really easy for anyone to get started. It's a one-stop shop for recording, hosting, and distributing podcasts. Best of all, it's 100% free. Sign up now at anchor.fm/new. That's anchor.fm/new to get started.